Blog Talk Radio.
Call-in number is 347-857-4192. So we want to make you take time, make sure you take time and share your thoughts with myself as well as my co-host. And I'm looking forward to having a great night tonight. And I know they're doing the same. Now, we are the voice We are the voice. We want to make sure everybody says the voice of historical black colleges, universities, high school, middle school, athletic, and southeastern part of the United States on the only thing, Blog Talk Radio. So we're very excited about it. So make sure you join us. Go to the web link if you want to hear the show. It's www.blogtalkradio.com/LD Smith Production. All right, we want to get this show started and get it cranked up. And he said, crank, how do you want to call it? We want you to be a part of this tonight. I'm going to start off by introducing my co-hosts. There's two of them on here right now. We had another one that ended up lost connection. They're going to call back in. I'm going to start off with the millennial who traveled up to the north. But she's back with us live and excited about being here tonight. And we always want to welcome her, my daughter, and the co-host and the millennial and the lady of the hour, Coach Lauren B. Smith.
Good evening, everybody. It's good to be on. Glad to be back with you guys. I'm ready to get diving in into these topics that we have picked out. So let's go ahead and do it.
All right. Thank you, Laura, for joining us, and we look forward to continuing our great aspects of being successful here through this vehicle. Now, I'm going to travel all the way again up to the north, and I'm going to go over there a little north over there to Meridianville. And that young man, he's known for his great saying to many of our individuals, and that is, especially in North Alabama, ain't no fun when the rabbit got a gun. So we're going to let him introduce himself. Let him bring you a welcome. That's Coach Tremaine Edwards.
How y'all doing tonight? How you doing, Dr. Smith? How you doing, Lauren? Glad to be here tonight. Hot topics, baby. Hot topics. Let's get this thing started, man.
Hot topics. Now, we had Darryl E. on, but we ended up losing the connection there. But he'll call back in. And that's one of our other co-hosts, and that's Dale E. Train Elliott, better known as the coach of the airwaves from South Alabama. He'll be calling us back in. Then we also will have our retiree, that young man, but he, some people say a man of wisdom. We'll have Coach Tony Starworth join us in probably about 15 or 20 minutes. So we're going to have a full course of activity tonight. We're going to have a full load. Everybody going to be here, and we're going to talk some sports tonight. You know, we've been waiting about 4 or 5 months, and all we talked about, football, and it's time for some football. So we want you to make sure you call in. The call-in number, again, is 347-857-4192. Let me explain how you, if you want to be a part of this, where you want to be vocal and you want to share your point of view and your expertise. Press 1 after you call in to the call-in number. Then I will identify you with the last 4 digits of your cell or telephone number. Then I ask you to come on, introduce yourself and your location. Then give us your thoughts. Tell us how you feel. Talk about your historical black college and university. Talk about your high school. Talk about your middle school athletics in the southeastern part of the United States. Talk about every, you know, share your thoughts about all of that. So we look forward to having you on here. So let's get this thing started up, team. Our title for the show is Time for Some Football. Very excited. I am, and my co-hosts, I believe they are as well. So ain't no question about it because they're football fanatics just like I am. We're going to kind of start off talking about some preseason historical black college and university storyline. And I want us to kind of just jump in and share whatever you had heard, whatever you've seen in the scrimmage, what exactly the talk out of each one of these camps among the SWAC, the MEAC, the CIAA, SIAC. And for those individuals, we have to deal with those acronyms. That is the MEAC is Mid-Eastern Athletic Conference, SWAC is Southwestern Athletic Conference, CIAA is the Central Intercollegiate Athletic Association, and the SIAC is the Southern Intercollegiate Athletic Conference. All right, team, tell me what your thoughts. What are some of the storylines that you've been hearing about since we all started football? We all getting our camps together. Tell me what you had heard. Share it with the listeners.
You want to kick us off, Lauren, or you want me to crank it up?
I go ahead. So Tuskegee has three young men who have made the preseason All-American watch. for their conference, as well as Alabama State has a couple guys that have made it. But I'm going to go ahead and say this. I'm very interested to see how Alabama State defensive backs play. I know a couple of them, and they've been talking cash money, moolah. So I'm very interested to see how they come out and play on September 1st, as well as their quarterback situation. I really want to see how that plays out. So I'm watching that because I'm hearing a lot of cash money talk coming, and you know, I always say don't write a check that your behind can't cash. So I'm ready to go ahead and see what it's talking about on September 1st.
Awesome, awesome.
Dr. Smith, Tremaine Edwards here talking.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I'm gonna say this. Went to see Alabama A&M scrimmage last Saturday, 10:30 in the morning. Offense looked like doo doo, Dr. Smith. Doo doo. I don't know I don't know if our defense is that good, but the offense looked awful. Yeah, I'm talking about awful. We couldn't move the ball, couldn't get nothing established. Defensively, we look like we got some gunners. And I'm talking about the Alabama A&M Bulldogs. That's the only team I seen in camp in person. A lot of things going on in Tinseltown and Tuscaloosa. Sorry about that stuttering, y'all. A lot of things going on. Defensively, Alabama's secondary is coming together. You know, that was a big question mark for us, the secondary. They're coming together. Defensive line is coming together. The tide will be sound this year. But Alabama A&M, offensively, we got to get it together, Dr. Smith.
Okay. And just to kind of let me jump in a little bit, I hadn't heard a whole lot. It's been kind of quiet, especially at Alabama State University. But there's a little excitement in the air. They're excited about what the possibility will bring. You know, with the battle, as Coach Smith stated about the quarterback, there's a battle going on. You have to make a decision about who's going to be the quarterback. Even though Alabama State quarterback from last year was mentioned in the preseason poll, the preseason SWAC team, I think third or fourth. He was mentioned on there on the third team or whatever, second, third team, I'm not sure. But I know he was mentioned in there, but there's a young man that's nipping at his heels. I don't have the name right now, but he came from Tuskegee, and he's nipping hard at his heel. He's pushing into the point where if he makes just one mistake, he may not be the starting quarterback, talking about the quarterback Pearson, Darryl Pearson. Well, he'll be, but this young man is pushing, and that's the quarterback who was there last year. So I'm hearing that. Also, when Lauren mentioned about the situation, the defensive back, one of my Facebook friends, Kim Ramsey, has a son named Karan Ramsey, and she's constantly, she's very proud of her son, and real proud of him as well. He's a young man that's excelling, trying to excel at the high level, and I want to make sure I mention him because she's always making a point. She's posting things about her son, and it's good to see the young man be very productive and be very successful at Alabama State. I think he's starting at safety, and so they had some things on this past weekend where he just kind of laid the leather on a couple people, dislodged the ball. So we're going to kind of keep an eye on that situation. So we'll kind of see. We see some of the additions on the staff at Alabama State University, including, you know, Tavares Jackson with those two quarterbacks. And they're battling. And they're battling hard, so we'll kind of see. And when I say addition, he's considered to be what we call an analyst. He's sharing some good thoughts with him, and, you know, he's sharing some stats with him because the analyst to analyze those players and then give it to the coaches who's coaching them to make sure they're being coached up like they're supposed to be. So we'll say, you know, it's very exciting to have an opportunity to hear that, some positive thing. That leads us to that first game, and let's talk about that first game. That first game where – you have Alabama State. We're talking about historical black colleges and universities. We've got many others we're going to share as well. But before we go to that Labor Day weekend, we're going to go on the 25th. On the 25th, you will have a historical black college, historical black university that will be playing in the Garden City Union kickoff classic in Montgomery, Alabama, and that's North Carolina A&T. They was named national champion last year, Black College national champion. They are replaying Jacksonville State, who's located in Alabama, but they're in the Ohio Valley Conference. And that looks to be going to be an outstanding matchup. So we're asking you to come put your meat in the seat. That's M-E-A-T. Support the historical black colleges. Support this kickoff classic. And we'll see some great things from that. So we'll look forward to seeing that. Then we'll come on the next weekend. We'll have all the games going. But we'll talk about historical black colleges. You have Alabama A&M will be up in the and Coach Edwards can kind of share some thought on that. The Lewis Cruz Classic with Miles College. And they'll be going at it up there in Huntsville. Coach Edwards, you want to share some thoughts on that?
Yeah, Dr. Smith. Very interesting game. Big time game. Big time classic. Anytime you can clash Birmingham and Huntsville is very good. Miles is a rival to A&M. As y'all know, A&M used to be in the SIAC before coming to the SWAC. So Miles and Tuskegee's, the Miles and the Tuskegee's are big time rivals for the Bulldogs. So, yes, sir, that's a big-time game. Lewis Cruz Classic, y'all come on out, baby. What time? We're playing at 6 o'clock. Kind of close to the Bama game. 6 o'clock, kind of close to the Bama game, Dr. Smith. So I might be there for an hour and be chalking out of there after watching the first half. So I'll give y'all a first half analysis.
Okay, that'll work. Now, we have our other co-host there. We have you back there, E-Train. We have you back. And if you just want to share some welcome with the individuals, because we lost you for a second, but we have you back there. You want to share some thoughts and welcome those individuals?
Hello, everybody. I'm glad to be on the show. Sorry for the delay, but I'm here.
Thank you, Darryl, for giving that and being a part of the show. Now, we have a caller on here, and the caller with the last four digits of 8940 will ask you to identify yourself and your location and share your thoughts about historical black colleges and universities.
That by participating in a clinical trial.
Okay. All right. To get started, visit Michael. You are live. You're alive. Look like they hung up. But we do appreciate them joining us, and all of a sudden they hung up. Okay, then. Kelly, let's move to that next game, which will be at 5 o'clock, which is ahead of the Lewis Cruz Classic. It's been Montgomery, Alabama. You have the Alabama State University Fighting Hornets taking on Tuskegee University Tigers. What's your thought, team? What do you feel about that first game, that Labor Day Classic between Alabama State and Tuskegee?
One thing is for sure. Tuskegee has been doing their thing. And year after year, I can't remember. I know y'all going to tell me I'm wrong. But I can't remember a year that Alabama University, but one year, ever beat Tuskegee. And I'm sure the record is different than that. But
okay. Go ahead on, Pierre.
Them Tigers are something to be reckoned with. And you have to say something to the consistency of the Comey project. So y'all tell me what y'all think about it.
Jump on in there.
I'm here. Darryl E-Train, I'm here. I'm going to say this. I have never seen Alabama State beat Tuskegee in the new stadium. Am I right by that, Dr. Smith? Have you seen that?
They have not beat Tuskegee in the new state. So, no, you haven't seen it because they have not beat them. Go ahead on. Say what you got to say, team. Say what you got to say. Okay.
I'm going to just say that I went the first year the stadium opened. I went there the first year was open. And that was a real great game, man. The atmosphere was pumping, stadium jam-packed, standing room only. And Tuskegee came in and shocked them, man. And every year since then, well, you know, the years they played, it's been the same way, same exact way. It's time for Alabama State to get over the hump, though, Dr. Smith. I'm going to go prediction. I'm going to say Alabama State, you know, the first game, I think the offenses will struggle. Alabama State 17, Tuskegee 10. That's my final score, Dr. Smith.
All right. We thank you for that prediction. We're getting ahead of the ball game. We love it. We love it. You can do the same thing. The call-in number, 347-857-4192. Call in. All right, Darryl, I hear you on that growl a little bit.
I hear you. If the legend done spoke and said 17-10, I got to roll with what he say because he ain't showed me nothing wrong. Boy, you better be right. I'm putting my money where my mouth is. That's all I got to say.
Yeah, there you go, Darryl. There you go. Put your money where your mouth is. Yeah, Coach Smith, what you got to say on that end over there, Coach?
I'm going to just say one thing only. Tuskegee got a day stadium, and they got a night stadium. They got the night stadium over there on South Jackson Street, and they got the day stadium down there in the boonies. Now, it's up to Alabama State to take their stadium back. Now, Tuskegee around here talking cash money moolah, talking about they own two stadiums. They said they pay the mortgage on two stadiums. Now, they don't pay for nothing down in Tuskegee. We already know that was built by hand. But that Alabama State, that was an architectural design going on over there. So they said they own that. I just want these folks to understand. This school is saying they own your brand new stadium. And they right, because they do, because you ain't won a game in there against them. So they own it. They run it. They cut the lights on, they cut them off. They turn the sprinklers on, they turn them off. They the only school that can fill it up. So they do own it. That is up to y'all.
That's
up to the first and five the food is wrong. Because if not, you're going to go another year but they're paying the mortgage. Because that's the only game that you're going to get meat in the seat.
That's ugly.
That is ugly. That's real ugly. And Coach Phil as well as Coach Edwards, they throwing them shots at your head, so you better get off the porch and get out there and get in a little mix of everything. But it is true, they have not beaten Alabama State have not beaten Tuskegee in that new stadium. The first year they opened it up on the last game of the season, which is the Tuskegee Thanksgiving Classic, and Tuskegee won that game. And then the next year they played that, Tuskegee won the game again. Then they did not play for several years. And then they come back and they played last year, and Tuskegee won that game. Now, it's time for ASU to respond. You've been called out. Folks have said the record is 61-34. You're not going to catch up with them. So the bottom line is try to beat them as many times as you can beat them. At least make it look decent. Because at this point, they're almost about to push almost a 20-point lead on you, mean game-wise, that you just can't compete with them. So we're looking at a situation where they're going to have to do some things. But I'm going to make a prediction as well, and I think this is I think this is a year that we'll see something change. And the mortgage might be paid by Tuskegee this year. Yeah, and earn it because they will be the home team. I want everybody to remember that. They will be the home team. They'll be dressed in their home colors, and Alabama State will be dressed in the white, meaning road, because it is a classic. It's just being played at Alabama State University. And my prediction is that if ASU, and I feel win this ball game, which is my prediction would be 17-14, and give them their first ever win in that stadium, but will propel them to be able to be successful in other games down the line. Now, I don't mean it looking at the schedule, looking at Auburn loss, or looking at Kennesaw State loss, or looking at Grambling loss. You got a chance maybe to get some people ready for Alcorn, and then you got South Alabama loss, and then you can get to playing teams that you feel like you might be able to be competitive enough, but just to get Tuskegee and Alcorn will put them in a good position where they're already in the preseason poll in the East, the second team in the preseason poll behind Alcorn, And on the other side, you have Gremlin and Summers. So that would be a big win for them. We want you to come out and support them. But our call-in number is 347-857-4192. Call in. Press 1, and I'll identify the last four digits of your cell or telephone number. Then I'm going to ask you to come in and share your thoughts about that game. Talk about the game that's occurring on the 25th, Garden Credit Union Classic. And then also just talk about what's happening in your area. And we're waiting on you to give us a call and share your thoughts. If you're on the web, if you want to listen to it on the web, then you go to www.blogtalkradio.com/LD Smith Production. All right, let's get to the University of Alabama. This is the topic that both of all our co-hosts have been waiting on. And I had a little topic that I want to share with you because everybody's going to have their thoughts about this. It's Nick Saban mishandling the quarterback situation at the University of Alabama. It has nothing to do with who he picked. Is it being handled right? Is it being done right? Because we know things didn't come out. Tell me what you think about the situation, and then we'll go from there. Team, jump in there.
Dr. Smith, I jump right on in. I'm going to say this. I've been talking about this since I've been introduced to the radio show Blog Talk Sports Radio of who I thought would be the quarterback next year for Bama. It's looking like my predictions are coming true. And right now, I think Nick Saban is handling the right way. I don't know what other way to handle it, Dr. Smith. I was coached by you and my father, and y'all always told me we're going to let the best man get the best position. I'm not looking for the best leader. I'm looking at the best man for the position. The best person that's going to help this team win will win that position. Now, as we're saying, we're seeing a lot of mental weakness in one person in this quarterback race. I don't know what they want us to do. As a coach, I'm saying this. I don't know what you wanted me to say to you after we went with a freshman to replace you in a championship game, and we won the game. Now, like you said, Dr. Smith, we could have stayed with Jalen Hurts, but we would have lost. I don't care what nobody else say. We would have lost the game. And, you know, a lot of people are saying, you know, they didn't plan for Tua and whatnot, but, I mean, it's a quarterback. It's a quarterback position. Quarterbacks throw the ball. And like you said, our quarterback ran a lot, so they played for the run, and he threw the ball out of bounds continuously. But I think Nick Saban is handling it right. It's being handled like any other position. The way Jalen Hurts got his job was a similar scenario, Dr. Smith. We can say whatever we want about this situation, but it's being handled the right way at a Power 5 university. This is not SWAC football. This is not MEAC football. This is not SIAC football. This is SEC football, Power 5 team that will be top 5 for the next 10 years. I'm going to say that. I don't know what else Nick Saban can do to make it more better. You got to win the job, Dr. Smith. And you going out in the first scrimmage and throwing 3 interceptions while the other guy throws 3 touchdowns is not helping you, Dr. Smith, after you then went to the media. That's all I got, Dr. Smith.
Dr. Smith, I'm going to say this, Darrell E. Nick Saban, all right, so how do you question anybody? I mean, and this is a question for anybody. How can you question Nick Saban when he has the record of winning, number one, and he has the record of common sense? You know, the king up there in North Alabama make all the sense. I love this man. I never met him a day in my life. But he makes all the sense in the world. He makes all the sense in the world. You can't question Nick Saban because, he's the most common sense coach I ever met in my life. And number one, how can you question somebody when they're winning? And all he do is win. I'll never forget the story. This happened 4 months ago. He was doing an interview in a car. And he was riding down the car. And the guy asked him, he said,
Don't you ever take a break? Don't you ever get just tired? And he looked at the guy and said, tired of what? Winning? And the video froze. And it said, it spoke volumes to me, because the reality is what Nick Saban does is what Nick Saban does. He finds the best people, and by him finding the best people, that means he does what? He makes the best choices. So the king is right. You got to earn it. Nick says, you don't have it. He does. Who am I going to go with? I'm going to go with the he does. And that's all I got, Dr. Smith.
Awesome, awesome. Coach Smith.
Okay, so nobody had a problem with this Nick Saban quarterback battle when it was Blake Barnett versus Jalen Hurts. Before we knew who Jalen Hurts was, it was Blake Barnett and Jalen Hurts ain't battle. We had no problem with that. But now all of a sudden, it's a problem. Now all of a sudden, we're questioning Nick Saban's mindset. What is going through this man's mind? Why is he playing with these young men? Why won't he name a starter? There's plenty of schools who haven't named a starter. Notre Dame is hesitant to name their starter. People are hesitant to name their starter. I wish Auburn was hesitant to name a starter. I wish they could find somebody else, try to give a somebody in running a star.
Roll Tide.
But it's no different than 2 years ago when we got introduced to Jalen Hurts. Nobody knew Jalen Hurts was. To be totally honest with you, we were so hooked on Blake Barnett being the guy. Blake Barnett came in. It's like he was a deer in headlights. Now all of a sudden we've been singing Jalen Hurts praises for the past 2 years. Okay, now Jalen Hurts is going to have to fight for the job. Y'all may not think it was a fight. That was a fight. Because if Blake Barnett came in and thrown for 300 yards and 5 touchdowns, then we would have, once again, we still would never heard of Jalen Hurts. So it was a fight for the job. He got to fight. You got to compete. You can't, he was giving so much. Now that he's not, he has to work. Now it's, oh, Nick Saban's doing something wrong. No, Nick Saban's doing what he's always done. We've just been spoiled as fans to not see that it's a battle. Everything's a battle. Every position on that roster is a battle. And Nick Saban knows what he's doing. And if it ends up one quarterback transferring, then we kind of know what the mindset is and what these kids are actually looking for when it comes to college experience.
Awesome, awesome. And you can join this conversation as well, 347-857-4192. Just give us a call, share your point of view in regards to this. We're getting our point of view out, and it's good that we're able to do that because we all have opinions and we want to make sure we look at it. Anybody can be questioned, but we can go from that point. Let's move to our next topic, which is Tua, whether or not that Westgate got this thing right about Heisman Trophy's favorite. 4-1 off.
Dr. Smith, can we hear your thoughts on the quarterback race? And is Nick Saban handling it right?
I think that phases of it, he's mishandling it. I do personally believe that. I believe that I have to listen to the young man say it was not discussed. He said Nick Saban, he just said coaches. I don't think that whether we want to take it for granted or not, they're still, you know, they have to be discussed and talked about. And we can go, I thought he mishandled it 3 years ago when even Blake Barnett and all them said it because he held them and they could have went on transfer beforehand. That's what I could say be a mishandling. But I know Jalen Hurts is not going to transfer. Either Tua is not going to transfer. Those players are not going to transfer. So the point is, I think that's the way, I mean, when I say mishandling, he's not handling it to the point where if the young man come out and say it wasn't discussed with him, and whether we like it or not, we ain't dealing with the same kind of players 10 years ago, 15 years, that you got to talk with these young men. Jalen hadn't said anything for 2 years, and when he finally says something, he's a GOAT. Why is he a GOAT? Talk with him, and I think Nick Saban has cleared that up. I think he has sit down here and had a discussion, not to say you're not going to have a job. He's still keep talking about competing for the job. So that's where I think he mishandled it. And we have to communicate nowadays where we didn't have to do. and we just say it's automatic. It's not really about the competition. It's all about being able to communicate because the quarterback is the extension a lot of time of the head coach and other coaches. And it might not have been Nick. It might have been the quarterback coach who was new and had made his mind up, and he's just coming in. I don't know. I just know there's a sense of some mishandling of this situation, and I think it's in the position where everybody assumed that he was wrong because he said what he was on his mind. He said the narrative was set, and maybe because of him not, it's not baby him, not doing it. I'm just saying we got to remember we're in a whole different age. And I understand that as a coach. If I had to go back, I had to adjust it. I can't do it like I did when I coached Coach Edwards. I can't do that when I coached Lord. I had to do it different. If you know, we jumped on him like he said something that hurt everybody's feeling. He said what was on his mind. And that's what I said last week, move on. But if he said he hadn't had a discussion, which a head coach have to have a discussion with everybody. He can't just say, y'all go compete, I'm not going to talk to you. And that's my point. I don't know, but I just go by what he said. That's what I mean about mishandling. I think it was mishandled through communication. It may be cleared up now, but it was out there, and everybody ran with it in a negative way instead of looking. Well, he has a right to say they didn't communicate with it. So that's where I say the mishandling is. The competition means, you know, a whole lot because, true and matter, they better with both of them than they, without only one of them. Because you never know if somebody get hurt. And I don't care what nobody said. Matt Jones ain't going to come in and fill in no slot to make a difference with any other team. So the bottom line is you have to work with them. It's a different group, and we have to adjust. And I'm just looking at it both sides. Because, you know, I got that old bulldog mentality. I had that too, but I know it's different now. And I'm just saying I feel like he kind of didn't handle it like it's supposed to when he say he has to adjust. He already said he's going to adjust. Nick Saban has adjusted because he came on ESPN and said, how do you coach young players? And he told you how you coach. He said you got to communicate with them. You just don't tell them what to do no more. You have to explain how it benefits them. That's all I'm saying. If you're going to say that and then you got a player coming back and said you did not discuss anything, I mean talk with him, then you're being hypocritical. And I've been that way, but I'm just listening because I admire the great things. He's a great coach. Everybody, he's God, but he do make mistakes. Urban Miles, God to some people, he made a mistake. Durskin made a mistake. So everybody makes mistakes, but that don't mean that makes him look worse than he was before. I'm just saying, did he miss handling just that part of it? So all of it is a part of it in the decision, the final decision. So that's the way I see it on that end by mishandling. But as a coach, you make a decision. Ain't no question about the decision who's going to be the quarterback. Because whoever they decide to be the quarterback, yet it looked like Tool at this point from that scrimmage. But I don't know. We don't know what's going to happen in the next 2 weeks. So we have to kind of go with it and see. But I just wanted to address the situation up to the point where he had to come out and say something about it. And that's why I think he missed that. That's my opinion of it. And we'll go with that. But if you have an opinion about it, call in 347-857-4192. And you can share your thoughts on that. Press 1. I'll ask for a digit of your sales number or telephone number. I'm going to holler it out. Then I want you to let us know who you are and where you're calling from. So, you know, that's where we are. And we got a couple other topics. We want to hit this thing tonight. Let's make it. Let's go with that point about Tua being having 4-1 odds on the Heisman Trophy favorite from Westgate. Tell me what you think on that.
Yes, Dr. Smith, I kick us off with that. Dr. Smith, I love it. Tua is a gunslinger. With gunslingers, there comes a lot of error. We've seen that on more than one occasion when he's played quarterback. And we also seen him move the offense down the field. A lot of your top quarterbacks that are in the NFL – that are in college are gunslingers. They throwing that thing all over the field. Now, typically at Alabama, we're not used to seeing a gunslinger. That's something we got to get used to. But I feel like this, Dr. Smith, and I've been talking about this the whole summer. Once that run game gets going this year, Dr. Smith, they going to be hard to stop with that man throwing the ball like he do. I feel like his arm is going to be an asset, but his arm is going to open up that run game. You can't put 7 and 8 in a box no more against Alabama. But like you said, Dr. Smith, I feel Westgate got it right, baby. Tua should win that thing if this run game gets going with this thoroughbred of running backs we have, Dr. Smith. We got one hurt right now, but it's still a bunch of Joker back there that could tote that thing, Dr. Smith. I think he got a good chance of winning this Heisman.
Okay. Jump in.
I'll go ahead. So when this first came on TV, or when it came on TV, I was actually with Dr. Smith. And what did I say? Tua got what? 4-1? What about Bryce Love? What about that little runner? You telling me something, man. I'm not going to knock Tua. I love Tua. I think he the best thing since sliced bread. I'm going to go ahead and pick. But I'ma say this. That little boy Bryce Love finna run through him. Now if he ain't your number one Heisman pick, I just don't know. Tua played one half. He did amazing, but he played one half. So I'ma have to see a little more before I don't wanna be funny when I say this, but Jeremy Johnson that thing. And you know, we had it. So I'm gonna speak on a full body of work. Bryce Love has a full body of work. So I didn't really like the 4-1. I really like Bryce Love for winning the Heisman next year, and I kind of see that. But let's not overreact here.
You haven't seen the best of Tua yet. I believe Tua is a developing quarterback, and this season you're going to see some explosion from him that you weren't expecting. I like the 4-1. I like the rest of the people that they're talking about as well. But there's just something very special about this guy, Tua. And I see him being the great white hope for Alabama. I see that, you know. And you know, it's just something magical. Two words come to mind. Roll Tide. Back to you, Dr. Smith.
And we have to keep in mind all of the betting lines. That was just Westgate, and they put it out there because there are several other ones got Bryce Love. Several other ones got Johnny, what his name, Johnny Taylor. And they have the West Virginia quarterback. And they even have Stenham up there. So you got, I'm not number one, but they got a couple people up there. I really think because of the way Nick Saban played, and we can say we want a man as a creature of nature, it won't allow that to get where it needs to get. Whereas you got a West Virginia quarterback throwing the ball probably 40, 50 times, and you got several other people that's going to be in the position. I just don't think, no matter what he do, I don't think he'll win the Heisman due to those individuals who do and will do more for their team. Because Alabama, like Trey has already said, Tremaine said, a lot of success is going to come based on that running game. And then the running game work, you ain't going to need to throw all those passes like these other players have to throw these people open. They ain't going to have to do that because your running game is going to put situation where you don't have to throw the ball as much. And then I still have a concern with the turnover situation with him. He averaged one every game he got in last year. So I'm concerned. He even dotted in this first scrimmage. There's some things that he did in regards to turning the ball over and throwing the ball. They didn't talk about it. We talked about the touchdown. We talked about the no interception. But there were some turnovers in that process, too. And I think that's something that's going to be a big concern. And I just think Nick is never going to be ready to turn it over like we, because they don't have to. See, the difference between when you have to do it and have a quarterback throw the ball a lot, then when you just use it and hit it in pot shots. And I think that's because with the running backs they got, It's hard not to keep that ball. Because if you throw it with him all the time, they ain't going to be happy. So you got a situation here. So my point is, I just don't think that was just one casino that got some money out there. Several of them got other people at the top. So we wanted to talk about and share the thoughts about that 4-1 odd. We want to talk about what could be magical about this season, which if you win the championship, that's more magical than anything in the world. So it's great to have this opportunity. It's time for some football. Just remember that. Call in numbers 347-857-4192. All right, we're going to kind of move it a little bit, move it forward. With the University of Maryland situation, the question is, should Maryland University, the University of Maryland head football coach DJ Durkin, be fired because of a toxic culture? Tell me what you think about that.
Say that again, Dr. Smith.
Should the University of Maryland head coach DJ Durkin be fired because of a toxic culture? And that's been the talk when you're talking heads and your partner's been talking about how toxic it was that led to the death of this young man.
Yeah. Right. Dr. Smith, I'm gonna say this as a coach. You don't know the difference between a kid laying down on you and a kid that's really sick, Dr. Smith. And that's coaching. And honestly, as being a coach, you can never tell. You can never tell. So the only thing you know is to push. Dr. Smith, I can tell you times that kids have threw up and got back in the line. You know what I'm saying, Dr. Smith? When we're conditioning, it's plenty of them that do that. We all are human beings, and no one knows when it's their time to go. This kid could have been eating breakfast and got sick during the breakfast thing. You know what I'm saying? But I just feel that comes with the job. I don't think he should lose his job for that. To me, it's equivalent. It's almost like you sign up for it, Dr. Smith. This is what you do. You're a machine that's playing football. So some machines are faulty on the inside. The human body is faulty. Some of them is faulty on the inside. Everybody's heart doesn't work the same. I mean, I don't know what they wanted this man to do. Like, as far as a coach, like, what could you do right there? You're conditioning for the season, so you're going to have to push yourself. So how would he know if that's you know what I'm saying, Dr. Smith?
Before Dr. Smith goes in, King, Dr. Smith said there's a toxic culture. Speak about the toxic culture. And therefore, you might have, Dr. Smith, if you'll speak about the toxic culture, and perhaps we might have a better understanding of what you mean by, you know, the pundit saying that it's a toxic culture. So give me your thoughts on that, and so I'll understand more.
Okay. For example, as Trey is saying, yes, we push players to a higher level, but some people can go to another level. Some of the things that's listed that happened at the University of Maryland, like kid that making them eat 10 or 15 candy bars, and they throwing up. Or I'm just going by what the report. I'm not there. So when you talk about taking them and making them go beyond another level that need to go, just like a kid, like this kid fell out. He fell out. And when he got up, you're still pushing him, go get in line, go stand up over there. And the reason the University of Maryland said they was responsible is because the athletic trainers didn't do what they supposed to do. But the bottom line is because of some things like simply doing some things they felt like was degrading. We don't know. We're going by reports. And these reports are coming from the talking heads and the pundits. And we know that there's some things going on extreme at every college. Kids are not. There's other kids that was running that didn't die. The biggest problem was that what did the university do once the player died? And that's where the fault come in. and that's not explaining all the toxic part. There are some other things going on that might be acceptable, but when it gets to a point when a student dies because of some of those things, it don't always look good, whether it's simply making them eat many candy bars or making them bear crawl. But when a student dies, everybody looks at that, especially when the staff, the training staff, did not give the right treatment to him. And Coach Edwards can tell you, you've been dealing with heat exhaustion, you've been trained on heat exhaustion. Why is it not done like it's supposed to, when the university admitted they morally and legally was wrong for what happened, and that's the report. But there's some other little things that people are pinpointing, because people don't really want football players to do nothing. They don't want to do nothing. But when one die because of it, the point going to be whether a little simple, whether making them eat candy bars, making them bear crawl, make them run without getting water, everybody's going to talk. That's what they mean toxic right there. They saying that program was, yes.
Let me say this. I don't think I'm going to go with the king. Once you have explained to me, I'm going to go with the king. No, we shouldn't fire the head coach. You should fire the entire coaching staff that was responsible for this job. And yeah, the head coach bears some fault in that. But if a coaching staff or a team staff is over this child at the time, then and they did nothing, you know, and they're trained like doctors to be aware of these situations.
Yep.
And yes, then they should be held accountable to the highest and lose their jobs, and then the coach should be held accountable as well, but not lose his job, but make sure that they are vetting people who are not, okay, it's one way, we're going to be tough and you're going to get out there and play. No, if you see signs, let's get that player off the field and let's check his vitals and make sure that he's okay. Yeah, we're in that kind of culture. So I understand what you're saying about the toxic culture now. And back to you, Dr. Smith.
Exactly. Coach Smith, do you want to share some thoughts? Because I know that's one of those particular areas you're focusing on in the future, dealing with health and dealing with kinesiology and all that, something you're looking toward. Coach Smith.
Yeah, my whole problem with this is not that the young man, you know, threw up, went back to it. Because like Coach Edwards said, that happens all the time. You really can't tell if kids are for real or what it is. But my whole problem with the situation was that once he did pass out, that none of the athletic trainers took his temperature. That was one of the things that they said yesterday in the news conference. That's why they kind of fired the athletic trainer. But I mean, it's such a touchy subject when it comes to that, because I had a lot of, when the news conference was going on, I was like, the president and the athletic director just now went and talked to the boy's parents. The boy died almost a month ago. If it hadn't been a month ago, you just now go sit down and talk to the parents? Like, you just now offer your condolences almost a month later? I was kind of thrown off by it. And I really thought the press conference yesterday for this situation was really not needed, because they didn't really tell us anything. ESPN had told us way more than the university had told us. But this situation is gonna get worse before it gets better. And it's gonna kinda bring awareness to that not what to do when a child when it's hot outside or when you're going through a heat stroke, but you know, making sure that everybody understands that when we have someone who passes out, we probably need to call 911 and just not be like, oh, he just faking, he just playing, you know, because like Coach Edwards said, sometimes that machine is not built right. Now, that's the direction that I also see this going in. You know, Maryland trying to look into, did this guy have a physical done before he came out there? Was it any heart-related problems? I kind of see it going, you know, left before it come back right, because as a university, they're trying to protect themselves, because they can see a lawsuit. I mean, I saw a lawsuit yesterday. They see a lawsuit coming. They're going to try to protect themselves. They offer their condolences, this and that, but at the end of the day, they're going to protect their money and they're going to protect their name. So we're going to see this situation get a lot worse before it gets better. And as far as the firing of the coaches, I think, you know, the firing of the athletic trainer, it was more than one. So, you know, you probably should have fired everybody that was out there when it comes to athletic training. Coach, he really don't have a say-so in it. But my whole thing was that they did not take his kid's temperature. And if you would have took the temperature, I'm pretty sure you would have seen that he was in heat stroke symptoms. And I think that probably could have saved his life.
And I think that's the reason why the University of Maryland stepped up yesterday and admitted that they was wrong. It's not just going to be on the athletic training. They're hired by the University of Maryland. The strength coach is hired. The head coach is hired. So the president got up there and admitted we was wrong. It was our responsibility. They're not even worried about the lawsuit, because whatever you come, they're going to give. You know, they already admitted they are wrong in what happened, because it wasn't handled accordingly. So we got a situation right here. It's something unusual, because most universities won't come up and say they wrong for what they did. The president not. So they're doing well in regards to not worrying about a lawsuit, because the young man's life was more important. And it was autopsy done on the young man, and he did not have any medical situation. He didn't have anything going on, no enlarged heart. He didn't have anything. So it was from the heat stroke. He died from the heat stroke. So the bottom line is, the university, we applaud the university for stepping up in the mid. We was wrong. Now, Calaro Daniels sometime might be the head coach. It might not be, because the same day that boy was out there and fell out, the head coach was out on the field with him. So he whether they decide, that's not a plus. Now, if he was in the office and didn't have nothing to do with that part of it, he was there. He was there, so that might put him in a situation, but this is the way the world is going now. If a child is on your team, if a player on your team, every parent feel like, turn my child over to you and you're responsible. If their child die and you didn't do what they're supposed to do, you're going to get fired. It's just the bottom line. I don't care if you wasn't there, but you're still responsible for it. That's the way of the world now. Once something go down, they're going after the head, because they said that culture that was going on was because of the head coach, because he had that coach. He had those trainers. So the point is, that's the same way in Alabama, the way that fella, you know, the strength coach, he scream, he holler, he do stuff. If he, one of those kids up there, fall over and die, everybody going to have to pay the price. So right or wrong, I don't know what way this should go. I just feel that that's a decision got to be made by the head coach. Because it's coming to that point where we're dealing with society now. The young man's life was lost, and our prayers is to that family. Our condolences to that family. He, you know, but the point is, you know, when you lose your child, I don't care what nobody said, you can't tell me that I put him in your hand and you didn't do what you're supposed to do. And that's what comes along with being a coach, especially on a college level. So we're just looking at it that way. We don't know whether he needs to be fired or not. But the bottom line is that some information is going to come out in the next few days. There's a good chance that decision will be made. We're going to kind of expedite this, and I think Tremaine is going to kind of share his thoughts on this one right here. And that's the 13 North Carolina football players were suspended for selling Jordan sneakers. Tell me what you think on that, team. tell me about those individuals selling them Jordan sneakers.
Dr. Smith, I don't know how they can get on them kids about that, man. They get the shoes to you. It's up to you to do what you want to do with them. I'm going to tell you this, Dr. Smith. They investigate North Carolina. I'm going to tell you the school that they're going to really be investigating, and that's Oklahoma. Oklahoma got a nice Jordan package, man. I'm talking about, Dr. Smith, they got probably about 20 pair of Jordans that are red and white, well, that crimson-looking color. They got a nice set. Now, if they want to catch kids selling stuff, they going to be the ones. But, Dr. Smith, you can't. If I'm giving you the shoe, I can't tell you what to do with your shoe, Dr. Smith. If you want to sell your shoe, sell it. I mean, what do you think, Dr. Smith?
There are rules to the game, and you got to stay in your lane. So I understand the accountability for what has happened. Here's my problem. When a player can go out there on the field and give you his all, and then he go back to his dorm room and can't afford a hamburger, I got a damn problem with that. Now, I got a problem with it. And so that's where I draw the line. See, we're going to get back into this stipend thing now for these players. Some of these players are actually getting stipends. I'm understanding this through other means. Yeah. But
Dr. Smith.
But what?
Darry, let me interrupt you right quick. 1 second, Darry. Dr. Smith, what if it had been a regular shoe, though? You think they were on them because it's Jordans?
Yes. They was a special
okay, just because it's
Jordans. For North Carolina. Only made for the players at North Carolina. That's why they on them so hard, because it was a, if it was just a regular shoe, you know, nobody would have bought it. But it was a special Jordan commission only for those shoes to go to North Carolina. Nobody else have them. Oklahoma don't have them. These are ones for his school for those players.
Gotcha.
And they sold it and made a profit of $200 and $300 off it. And half of the Negro,
gotcha.
One kid from Trinity. The kid is right here from Montgomery, played offensive lineman, a doctor. It ain't about the money no more. It was all about they sold the shoes, and it was a special edition because it was special to give, and the NCAA stepped in and said that you got a benefit. That was a benefit. So that's why they suspended it. Because of the violation of the NCAA rule. If it had been a regular tennis shoe, you gave them the gift, it wouldn't have made a difference. But it was a special edition that was sold. That's what the biggest problem is. Jordan had something to say about it. That's what was so bad. People don't realize that, because when they was talking, Jordan made the statement, I gave these shoes to you all, special. And you all go out and sell the shoes? You weren't supposed to sell. He wanted the boys to wear the shoes. So that's what the biggest talk is about, and that's why they were suspending 13 players over the season. Some got 4 games, some got 1 game, some got 2 games, but they were suspended. They were suspending it. They spread it out over the whole period of time. Because one kid talked to the other guy, gave the other guy $10, $20, $30, $40 to get them a hamburger down so they can get them a hamburger. And he took their shoes and sold them for $300. So he got 4 games.
Anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they were. It was Jordan. Got them a special edition. Nobody else have these shoes. North Carolina.
I got you.
No, they don't sell them. They don't sell them in the store. So that was a big discussion of it. Yeah. All right, so we're going to kind of expedite a little time and move forward. We got several other things we wanted to talk about, but we're running close to our hour. I want to go back to the University of Alabama, because this was a discussion on our normal shows that comes on in the morning. I just call them normal shows, about the coordinators. Will they have an impact on whether Alabama can win a national championship because of lack of experience of being in that position, the offensive coordinator and defensive coordinator? And I know everybody says, I got the Jim and Joe, I'm all good, but sometimes the coordinator got to make the right call. They got to do the situation. So a lot of people think that's going to be their Achilles tendon right there. That's going to be their problem. That's what's going to be, because the coordinator has never been in that position. So tell me what your thoughts are for the – we're going to take a few minutes to talk about that. Then we're going to kind of expedite with a few more topics, and we're going to move on.
Dr. Smith, I disagree with them, that thought right there. If you got the Jim or Joes, you will win. I don't care who you are. I don't care what system you got. If I got the right people, put it like this, Dr. Smith. If I have a total of 7 or 8 5 stars on my offense or defense that are starting for me, I should be in contention to win a championship. It doesn't matter what I want. I come out there and run the old wing tee, Dr. Smith. If I got 7 or 8 5-star players out there, I should be in contention of winning a championship. It's not 3 or 4 5-stars. Like people say, Alabama coaches come through and go places and contend for championship. Like we say, Dr. Smith, they hate us when they at Alabama. But when they up for a new job, let's go get that coach from Bama. That's the first thing they say, Dr. Smith. So – Dr. Smith, these Joe gonna roll, man. It don't take much to put a system in. If you got the pieces, I think you're gonna roll.
Okay. Any other thought on that? Those Lauren, you got any thought on that?
Yeah, I agree with Tremaine. As long as it's a 5-star, you got 3 5-stars out there, it don't matter. You can have a C1 that they're trying to coach the offense. It don't really matter. You got bulls that you are training. They are training bulls to run you over every Saturday night for free on TV. That's what they training these young bulls to run you over every Saturday night. So it don't matter if you got a blind man that's trying to tell them what to do. It don't matter. It's the players, in my opinion. It ain't really the offensive, defense coordinator. Them guys got to come and go. It's the 1, beat you. 2, get to the NFL. That's it. They don't care who the coordinator is. They gonna do both of them, with or without you. So it's the guys. Same way Coach El said, 5-star athletes, you can't beat 5-stars.
And that is great, but everybody else got 5-star too. So Georgia got them too. So my point is, it's going to be a little different there than having the coach at Tennessee now that knows and the kids knowing, and he had called before. So I understand, first year make mistakes. It might not hurt them that they won't win, but they could lose a game. They can lose a game. So the bottom line is that's not saying they can't win a championship because they lost a game last year. But it will affect them at some point, I do believe. And we'll kind of keep an eye on that. And I just believe it will be a concern because an inexperienced coordinator can hurt. I don't care who you got out there. Because it is important being able to make the right calls at the right time. Call is a feel. Coordinator is a feel. And when you sometimes you ain't used to being in that pressure situation, and because if they don't perform to the level, all these folks are going to be criticizing the same one that criticizing players now going to criticize the coordinator because they haven't done it before. So the point is, the fans can get on there and talk. And it does affect those people, want them fired and all that stuff too. So we're going to kind of pay attention to that and see what's going on. I just had that discussion, heard that discussion, and want us to talk about it. All right, the last thing I want to talk about is Melo. Let's say something about some pro football, pro basketball. Melo signed a 1-year contract with Houston. Can the Rockets now beat the Warriors and win the NBA Finals? Tell me what you think, Keith.
Dr. Smith, the Rockets won't beat the L.A. Lakers right now. We're Melo. Melo
okay.
Is watched, Dr. Smith. Going into that situation over there, I think he's in the same situation he was in Oklahoma City. I see he preferred to come off the bench. That's not typical of Melo. So I see he's trying to get a ring. But, Dr. Smith, that's the same situation. You're totally dominated by one guy doing all the scoring at Houston as it was at OKC. So I don't see anything different. One man shooting all your ball. That's all I got for you, Dr. Smith.
Okay. And just to kind of take that another level, the only problem I have with comparing them to OKC and that is Westbrook, Chris Paul. That's a big difference. Westbrook's a point guard. I mean, Westbrook is a shooter, point guard, don't pass to nobody. Chris Paul won't pass it. So that might be
Dr. Smith. I'm not comparing Westbrook and Chris Paul. I'm comparing Westbrook and that joke with that big beard over there that shoot all the balls.
But Trey, keep in mind, Westbrook is a point guard and a shooter. Weathering is not a point guard. He's a shooter, an off shooter. So who's gonna handle the ball, Chris Paul? That's the difference. That's what I'm saying. I won't use OKC. That's a whole different thing. I think that, and I'm not saying they're going to be any better. They're not going to beat the Lakers. They're going to beat the Warriors. I'm just saying that gives them a chance because he got a true point guard handling the ball, getting it to him to set. All he's going to do is sit and shoot anyway. So, but the problem is not shooting. They're going to score points. He's going to score some points. Their problem is playing defense. If the Lakers beat them, it's on defense. It's not going to be on offense now. It's going to be defense because he ain't going to check nobody. Who he going to check when he get on the floor? Who Harden going to check? He don't check nobody either. So that's the disadvantage I see, and I don't think it'll be on the offense again. And over at OKC, they ain't check nobody. They was just out there. Paul George stayed the right place he needed to stay. So the point is, well, that's the way I kind of see it on the end. So he signed the contract. Houston feel like this is what they need. We'll get a chance to see that. And it's going to kind of like, whether they're going to be the NBA Finals. We're going to see if they're going to be in the NBA Finals. They got to be the Warriors. The Lakers got to be competitive with the Warriors. So we're going to kind of see what it is. But we're at the end of the show now. We're about to wrap it up. And we want to really appreciate everybody for joining. We had some hot topics tonight. And I want my co-hosts to take an opportunity to share the best way they want to conclude their thoughts, tell us what's going on with them, and then we're going to get ready to wrap this up.
Yes, this is Tremaine that was checking out. As we said earlier, we talked about the offensive coordinators and defensive coordinators. I believe in my head coach at Alabama. Nick Saban, when things get tough, I see the headset flying, and he runs their team. So if you don't want to run the ball, we'll go find somebody who can run it, and we'll get you out of there. If you don't want to blitz, we'll find somebody who's going to blitz, or we'll get you out of there, Dr. Smith. That's what Nick Saban is doing. He's tearing a hole. That's what they call it, tearing a hole in you. But I trust in my coach, and roll tide, and let's go Bulldogs, baby. Let's get this thing going, man. Y'all have a good night.
Awesome, Trey.
I'll go ahead and sign off for you. It was good to be on the show. I needed this tonight. It's very funny, entertaining. Probably better than watching cable TV. Y'all come back and join us. Join the show Friday, Monday, Wednesday. Every other day we on. So make sure you're listening to us and calling in, trying to chat with us every other day. We live, and we coming with the noise. I can't wait for September 1st. Love and see Tuskegee own another stadium. Keep on paying the mortgage over there on South Jackson Street until they figure out what to do. So see you guys next week.
Awesome. And there he had to, you know, leave us at the time. So we appreciate him joining us, Coach of the Airwaves. And I'm gonna say the same thing to everybody. You have an awesome weekend. We'll be available, and we'll be. Give you an opportunity to join us on Friday at 4 o'clock Central Standard Time, 5 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. We're Balling with the Doc, and that's myself, and then we'll be talking some more sports, and we'll be back on Monday. We're talking real to you with Coach Lauren, who's Lauren D. Smith on that show, and Dr. Olivia Smith, and we had a very special person last week, special expert that called in and talked, and that's Ms. Scarlett Black, we appreciate you calling in. You can do the same thing on Monday, and we'll go from there. So we want y'all to have an awesome rest of the week. We want you to keep on grinding with the biggest hashtag in the world, and hashtag the Smith Way, also hashtag talking sports to you. So have an awesome time. We'll talk with you on Friday at 5 o'clock, 4 o'clock Central Standard Time, 5 o'clock Eastern Time, right here with Balling with the Doc. Have a great weekend. As the co-host, I thought he'll be able to join us, but he was kind of busy with some church things tonight. As he always said, that's Coach Tony Stallworth. Take the night and don't let the night take you. Have an awesome night. God bless you. And I'm going to say this. I love you, and there ain't a thing that you can do about it. So have a great weekend. Have a great rest of the week, and we will spend a little time talking with you on Friday, and we're going to say, get ready, because it's coming. Talking Sports Love coming at you.